We're going to talk swans this morning. Laura Canning in with us this morning, Cass County Conservation Naturalist here in the area, and we're going to talk a little bit about those big birds. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Thanks for coming by.
No problem.
A little bit of snow all of a sudden. Has it made it a challenge for the swans out there?
No, they actually kind of like that. They camouflage right in and can mind their own business, and so it's actually doesn't bother them too much.
As long as they continue to have open water.
Open water. Yep. That's where their key to the wintering sites is for them.
Yeah. And plenty of open water yet for them here?
Yes. Plenty so far. And I've heard up north here in Webster City that they're doing great up there as well. Actually, their numbers were a little low right after Thanksgiving, and they actually called me to make sure that we had swans. They were like, oh, they must all be by you.
Share the wealth.
Yes, yes.
Well, good. Well, the Schoberg Quarry, always a popular site for those swans to make their stopovers here, hopefully no further south. We'll see how the winter goes, but have you had good numbers this year?
Yep, we've had pretty much average for the year. We average about 30 to 40 out there at one time. We've already had our so far high has been 52 right after Thanksgiving on that 28th. We had 52 swans out there.
So a few of them have already disappeared?
Moved on or have moved around a little bit. So. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, very good. Well, as folks should know, because we've talked about this many times over the years, it's kind of rare here. We're one of the few sites that gets to enjoy this here in
Iowa. They kind of consider there's about four wintering sites total for the trumpeter swans in Iowa. And the closest one, of course, is here in Atlantic. And closest one to us is even up towards Fort Dodge and Highway 20 there. So that's the closest two wintering spots to us.
Are folks getting bored with it? I mean, is there a risk that they keep coming back year after year, that after a while folks just kind of like, oh, ho-hum, the swans are back, we've seen them before?
I hope not, at least. But we've had a lot of interest from other people. Will travel for birds. It's amazing how much tourism this does bring into our county. So they do travel. People travel to go see them in this amount of them, because once they fly north and want to find their nesting spots can be pretty secluded. So the DNR has figured out that, you know, even with some of their nesting spots, they don't know where they nest. Sometimes the only times they're seen is when they're here in Atlantic.
Why is that a big deal? Why should folks care? Why should they take the kids out to see this?
Right. When we talk about the trumpeter swans, it's another success story, just like the bald eagles. They have really bounced back from what we've considered reintroduction. They've bounced back, and so there was less than 100 probably in the lower 48 way back in the 1930s, and so they've really bounced back since then. And it's been Iowa's been kind of the lead with a couple other states to reintroduce them and keep them going and keep their population on the up and up. So and of course it's a wildlife experiment study as well. Currently we actually have a swan out there that when he left Minnesota, he had his wife or girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, his female with her, and he got here to Atlantic and she's not here. And so the DNR, of course, then have been in touch with us, and we've been trying to figure out what really happened. So those kind of interesting things are still happening, and we're hoping that she shows up or shows up somewhere else and maybe just got separated from each other, things like that. So there's been things happening like that still kind of surprise us that that research is still going on and things like that.
Well, they're sometimes difficult. When you think about their travel patterns and things, they fly about as gracefully sometimes as a semi travels down the road. It takes them a little bit of space. They're big. They're large. It takes a bit to make turns. They can't stop on a dime. They can't do some of the things that smaller birds can do. So sometimes they have accidents. Sometimes they run into some things.
Right. And so, they've also are looking at the cygnet ratio with this drought of the past. Spring and summer, they are really researching now how many cygnets do you have, things like that comes into play with the weather conditions. A lot of the Minnesota wetlands, northern Iowa wetlands, were getting that their babies were actually born and alive, and then the water wasn't there, and so they're really studying on how this drought is affecting them now.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of projects that you have here, too, and then I'm going to throw a curveball at you here at the end, so be prepared. You started a program last year that helps to feed these swans over the winter months while they're here. It's difficult. I know folks want to get out. They want to be. That's the beauty of it. You get right into nature. You can get right up there with them. Mm-hmm. But feeding them, which a lot of folks want to do, is a tricky thing because they're fairly sensitive, and you want to make sure you get them the right kind of food. And you put a program together last year that worked out pretty well, right?
Yeah, it worked out great. We've decided to do it again this year. It's called Fill the Feeder. We team up with Atlantic's Orchland store, and we get together, and you can, easy way to just help us out, go in if you're shopping in Orchlands, or sometimes it's just people that are going in there just for that, and go through the checkouts and tell them you want to fill the feeder, or tell them you want to buy the bag of that corn for the swans, and you don't have to worry about not buying the wrong thing, things like that. And so it's really easy to do, and just go through the checkouts and buy a bag of corn, and it'll get set aside for us, and we go in there and pick up what we need out of the store and out of the donations, things like that. It worked great. We ran it for about a month, just over a month. So
they're very sensitive. It's kind of difficult. Sometimes folks want to feed. They think like geese or anything else. Oh, just grab a bag of bread and go on out there.
Right.
Well, you know, you kind of have to be careful with some of that stuff.
Yep, and they can get sick off of moldy bread. Even with the snow, that extra moisture, they can get pneumonia just like we do in our lungs. And so it's even with us feeding the corn, we are very careful that the corn is in good state, not moldy, things like that, so that they don't get pneumonia, things like that.
How much did they go through last year, do you know?
Ooh, I don't know total. I do know that we go through about four bags, totally fill the feeder. And so if we're feeding an average of 40 swans, I have to fill four bags into that feeder every other day, approximately, maybe every other third day.
How big's a bag?
And it's about a 50-pound, I believe they're 50-pound bags.
They are eaters.
Yeah. And it's not, it's that clean whole corn is what we're looking for, things like that. And we do have people that go out there and, you know, if you have ear corn, things like that, that's fine as well. If you're chucking that at them, but we just do get concerned, especially with that bread, so.
Wow. I guarantee I could not get off the ground if I ate that much. And
yeah.
I think I did it. Thanks, Christmas.
You know,
here too.
And they weigh more than turkeys do out there. So, I mean, they weigh a good 50 pounds, 40 to 50 pounds.
They're good size, and they do eat. Well, good. You can do that now through January 31st, so you have an opportunity to do that. Just stop by Orchland's and ask them at the register there, and they'd be happy to get you set up, and you don't even have to lug that bag out to the car.
Exactly. Leave it all to us.
Great. Well, now the soiree with the swans coming up here in January, that's been a pretty successful program. Do you still get a lot of folks interested?
Yeah, we do, and, you know, again, it's the word of mouth, the people traveling to come see that amount of the birds. So we have enjoyed doing that for the past couple years, and so we'll be doing that again on Saturday, January 5th. Again, kind of starts at 11, of course, and if, you know, maybe you're an avid birder and have seen these guys before and, you know, want to do your part, we also readily take volunteers for that day too. We have hot chocolate out there and hot dogs, things like that. So there's definitely, if you want to volunteer, give our office a call down in Lewis and we can hook you up that way as well.
Okay. Now that event will happen no matter if the weather's bad or even if the swans disappear.
Because of
cold weather, we'll still have it. We'll let you know. Don't worry about that now, but we'll let you know if the schedule has changed at all. But that's coming up Saturday, January 5th. That's a good event for the kids.
Yes. And we do have a lot, you know, and it's getting to be the end of their Christmas break, and they're still kind of squirrely, and we stay and try. It's hard to stay away from some bowl games, things like that. So we enjoy that day out there.
Good. Well, and we'll keep reminding you as we get a little bit closer to that date, too. There's no pre-registration or anything for that.
No, you just come out, show up, and it's come as you go, you know, come as you please, because, you know, you could come. We have a lot of people that do travel from that, you know, from farther away and come out, and then they go into town, have lunch, and then come back out and see them before they go home. So we do the programs from 11 to 2. 2:30 is our last one. So.
And a free program.
Yes, it's all free.
Very good. Okay, here comes your curveball. You ready?
All right.
The Eagle Cam up in Decorah is so popular.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about a trumpet or swan cam?
Well, I have not. You know, especially when we also had the school, up at the Atlantic Middle School, we had the owl right outside the kids' windows, things like that. I have not. You can watch even barn owls. There's other versions of these eagle cams and webcams. And if you're looking for a couple of those links, don't be afraid to call us or email us. We had an article, I want to say 2 years ago now, in our newsletter, of some of those links for the, you know, barn eagle cam, barn owl cam is out in California. Mm-hmm. There's, of course, ours, the Decora eagles. And so then of course there's the raptor cams once you hit May. I tell teachers all the time, you could watch these kind of video cams all year round, all school year long, because even after the owls are done and the eagles are done, get into the raptors and get into those guys.
Absolutely. It's amazing when you take a look at what's out. There's turtle cams. There's all kinds of things out there. So it's anytime people are interested enough to want to watch these things and learn, no matter how they do it, it's a good thing, right?
Yes, it's a good thing.
Always raising that awareness. Great. Well, we'll work on that trumpeter swan cam thing, huh? See what
you're
we
right.
can do. All right, very good. Well, again, make sure you stop out to Orchlands and help them out with filling up the feeder to keep those swans big and fat here during these winter months. We wouldn't want them to starve or get cold, right?
No.
And keep it tuned, too. We'll let you know more about the Soiree with the Swans coming up again on January 5th. Laura, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.